right. The kingdom of God. I wish that everybody would be here and listen and be able to get all this. And the thing that I want you to get more than anything from this, there's a lot of things we're going to deal with as we go through this, but I'm talking about all of the messages I'm preaching about the kingdom of God. I think we just need to have a different mindset about eternity than what we do. This needs to be what we think about when we think about eternity. We're stuck on heaven being a place where it's just like a big family reunion and we get to be with all our loved ones that have gone on, and that's what we focus on, and that's wrong. That is just wrong. That will be a benefit of it. I will see my mother, I'll see my grandpa, I'll see everybody that was saved that went to heaven before me. You know, I hope I see my grandpa. I don't absolutely know for sure. But anyway, that's just a side thing. When Jesus preached the gospel, he preached about the kingdom. So did the disciples. So that's what they all did. They came preaching the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've dealt with that in the first message on this. And we just need to have a different view of it. It's not, here's the thing I've been thinking about. Everybody's focused now on being a part of something big here. That's why big churches are so the thing, because everybody wants to go and be a part of some big thing here. I remember when I used to think like that. When I first got in, that was impressive to me to go somewhere like, where they had thousands of people there. Wow. Man, it made you feel empowered and all of this. Well, shouldn't think like that on this side. What we ought to be looking to is eternity. Jesus is coming. And he's gone. These parables all teach us that he's like a man, a nobleman, that's what we're going to read about here, who went to a far country to receive a kingdom. That's what's happening right now. He's coming back. And when he comes back, he will have received the kingdom. And in the meantime, we're here. We're going to be, if you've entered into the kingdom of God, you're going to be a part of it. But there's a period of time here that Jesus made very clear that we're left here with a duty and with responsibility. And I got a lot to say about that. But let's pray, and then we'll read the parable, and then we'll get on with it. Father, thank you for the song. Thank you for the songs we sang together. Thank you for everybody's here. Please bless this message tonight. Pray you'd bless the Word of God. And Lord, help us to rightly divide it. Help us, Lord, to understand what we read. Holy Spirit, please take the message and make it clear and applicable in every heart and life here tonight and everybody that might hear this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke 19, verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, notice that, servants, 10 of them, and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. Do you notice the difference between his servants and the citizens? They hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. That's the world we live in. See, they don't want Jesus. They're not about to submit to him. And that's the whole world. But Jesus does have a few servants. A few, yes, he does. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Likewise, well, thou good servant, thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority. See, how faithful we are, it will determine our station in the kingdom. Remember that. All right, and the second coming, and he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Now that austere means hard, severe. Is Jesus really hard and severe? These other two didn't say that about him. They said, Lord, here's your pound, 5 more. Here's your pound and 10 more. Here's what you gave me and I got this much more. Hallelujah. Out of thine own mouth. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest thou not my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. You know, that's kind of the way people think. They think like this socialist generation that we live in. Entitled. There you go. Well, he's got 10 pounds. You're going to take this poor guy's 1 pound, give it to him? Yes. That's exactly what he's going to do. He was unfaithful with it. He hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto everyone which hath, shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me.
He that hath, to him shall be given. But he that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. Now, we got to understand some things about this. Jesus made the focus of his teaching on the kingdom of God the fact that there would be a long period of time between his resurrection and his return. Now, we talked about that a little bit last week. During that period of time, his servants here on earth are to be busy using what he has left with them. God gives everybody a gift or gifts. I really believe that. I've always believed that. When you really get born again, God gives you something. You don't go away empty-handed. You're not left desolate. You have something. Now, you may not be able to play a musical instrument. You may not be able to sing. You may not have the gift of prophecy, preaching. You may not be able to do all the things that everybody focuses on all the time and thinks this is a... But that's not the only talents there are. That's not the only gifts God gives. God enables every one of us. He enables us to do something, to be a blessing. God gives all of us some knowledge, some grace. We all are partakers of that. He gave these 10 servants of his, he gave each one of them 1 talent. They all got the same amount to start with. We all start out in the same place in salvation. When we're saved, we're on the same level field. There's nobody above or richer or in a higher station than anybody else when you're saved. You start out like a babe,
See, unable to do anything. But the kingdom of God is not like we're passengers on a bus or spectators at a thing watching what God's doing. That's not how it is. We don't just get saved and sit in the church pew the rest of our life. We don't just get saved and never go nowhere, never have anything, never change anything. We got saved and that's all we got. It's not that way. Now I'm telling you, I've known people all through the years. They said they got saved 40 years ago and they ain't one bit different than they were the day they supposedly got saved. They don't know one more thing about God than they did the first day they got saved. They have nothing more than what they got in the very beginning. Now, it's very important to understand what this is saying here. If there's not an increase in what God gave you to start with in your life, then you're in trouble when He comes. You're going to be like this unprofitable servant here. He called him wicked. Thou wicked servant. What do you mean? You mean after all this time, all you've got is that one talent I gave you? That's all you got? He was very displeased with him. I mean, that was not the plan. That was not the duty that he was charged with. He didn't fulfill his duty. He was scared. He was lazy. He didn't put forth any effort, did he? He hid it in a napkin. Just barely hung on to what the Lord gave him from the beginning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. My wife's been getting on to me because I say the verse too quick and then move on. And I tell her I ain't got time. I got to hurry. But here we go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is hid on a hill cannot be hid. Set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And he giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're the light of the world. You're not supposed to just be sitting somewhere. You're not supposed to be hidden somewhere. We're here to glorify God. We're here to learn about God. We're supposed to increase in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of God, we're supposed to increase that, multiply that. If you ever met the Lord, if you've ever had an encounter with Jesus Christ, then He gave you something. You have some knowledge of Him, and that's your talent. In this parable, He called His 10 servants, so few among that whole country that he was leaving behind for a time, his citizens. This is a nobleman. This is a king's son or family. He's going to receive a kingdom, see? He's talking about himself, the Son of God in the world. Going to go to a far country to receive a kingdom, but he's going to return. We obviously know who he's talking about. He's saying this is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like this. This is how it's going to be. And so all of the citizens of the country hated him. But he had 10 that didn't. Yeah, he had 10 servants. In this parable, he called his 10 servants. His citizens hated him, so these 10 servants were left in a hostile environment to do the work of their Lord. It wasn't easy. It wasn't a breeze. It wasn't like selling some hot product. You know? It wasn't as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. Give them the plan. Draw the net. It wasn't like that at all. These people hated him who they represented, who they stood for, who they lived for, who they worked for and invested their life for. They didn't mess around. These ones that gained, they put their effort into it. They put their life into it. They put their strength, their life, their attention into increasing what the Lord had given them. And they got commended. Well, thou good and faithful servant, I got a reward for you. Yeah. It's the kingdom. We need to look to the future with this in mind. How our faithfulness here is going to determine what we are when He comes. In His power. In His kingdom. When we are, when everything changes over, like we talked about before, there's coming a time, a point in time where the kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And we're going to rule and reign with Him, those who are faithful, while we're waiting on Him to come back. Those who stay at it. Those who invest their life. Now, that's the way the Bible teaches it. I just can't understand all this modern stuff of no lordship salvation. They mock and say, you know, Jesus can be your Savior, but not your Lord. You know, I've heard their mocking and their blasphemy saying that's the way it is. You know, you get saved, He becomes your Savior. And at some point in the future, if you want to, you might make Him Lord of your life. What blasphemy. And it's in the Bible is saturated with, there's no such teaching as that in the Bible, any kind of shadow of it. The Bible is completely, thoroughly against that and teaches clearly that He's Lord or He of all or He's not Lord at all. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And He's the King who's coming with His kingdom. And while we're waiting on Him to come, we got work to do. We've got a duty to fulfill. We've got a life to live and to be faithful to Him. The issue when He returns, after He has received the kingdom, whether or not His servants had been good stewards of what He had left in their charge. Now that's the issue. When He come back, first thing, bring me them servants. Get my servants. The ones I gave that talent to. Bring them to me. I want to see what they've done. Do you understand that when Jesus comes for us, that's exactly what He's going to do? There's a judgment seat of Christ. Did you ever hear that?
Yes, sir.
What have you done? What have you done with what He gave you? This is not high pressure to work, 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 be faithful and be involved in all the ministries and activities. That's not what this is about. What God gave you, what have you done with it? Has God ever shined any light in your soul? Well, what have you done with it? Have you increased it? Have you got more than what He gave you to start with? Huh? Think about that. Because that's the issue when He comes. Not have you ever been baptized. Not have you ever made a profession of faith. What does everybody else say about you? That's not it either. The issue is, what have you got? It's what Elijah asked the widow. What hast thou in the house? What you got? What have you got tonight? What have you got? When the Lord comes, what are you going to be able to... Are you going to be able to say, Lord, here's what you gave me, and this is what I got now. And it's only been by your grace and your help and your blessing. Are you in a higher place than you was a year ago? And you increased anything. I'm talking about in you. You. What you got. These servants came. The first one, he said, Lord, here's your talent. And I've got 10 more. I mean, he had it. He kept it. And he increased it. That's what the Lord wants. Obviously. When he came to the one that said, here's your talent. You got it back. I kept good care of it. You wicked servant. You took what I gave you and you didn't do anything with it. You didn't do anything with it. I mean, your whole life, you just barely kept what I gave you, the little bit I gave you to start with. He said, thou hast been faithful in very little. The very little that I gave you, and that's all you got? Well, I'm telling you, you ought to be able to sit here tonight, and you ought to be able to say, oh, thank God I've got so much more than what he gave me in the beginning. I'm going to be able to rejoice when the Lord looks at me and says, what do you got? Now see, we're not going to boast about it. These guys didn't boast. It's not our doing. It's our faithfulness. It's our stewardship of what God gave us. We didn't fritter it away. We didn't carelessly lose it. We didn't carelessly let the world and the cares of life and all of the influence of the world steal it from us, water it down, make it of none effect in our life. What the Lord gave us at the beginning, we kept. And it increased. And got bigger. Bigger part of our life. It owned a bigger part of us. Did they have in their possession more than what he'd given them at the beginning? That was the question. That was the issue. Had the things of God they possessed been enlarged in any way? That's the issue. Did they have anything more than what he'd given them from his own hand? When Jesus comes with his kingdom, he'll be looking for those who have taken what he has given them and increased it. And not everybody that professes to be saved or attends church is growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, y'all know that, don't you? Not everybody is. It's a sad thing, but most are like the unprofitable servant here. Most people who sit in church are like the unprofitable servant. All they know is that they're saved and are on their way to heaven. You try to squeeze a testimony out of anybody, and that's about all they got to say, if they'll say that. Right? That's exactly right. They can't tell you what God's done for them today, this week, last month, whatever. They got no, I don't want to say that word. They don't have any present, recent experience with God. The only experience they got with God, the only knowledge they got of God, well, I got saved 40 years ago. I knelt at an altar and I remember that. Boy, I'll tell you what, churches are full of people. You can go anywhere you want to. You can find them, and that's all they got to say. That's the unprofitable servant. Well, I got what you gave me, Lord. What else? Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, of repentance, let us move on, the Bible says. Move on. Go on in the book of Hebrews. There's more. There's more than what you just got in the beginning. There's time to get it too. All they possess is the assertion that they've done all they know to do. They've absolutely no overflow to give to others. How are you going to give to others when you just barely got enough for yourself? If that much. They've not increased at all since they made their profession of faith, but barely stay in church because they have so little in their soul. I mean, it's a real struggle for most people to even get to church and be able to sit in a pew once a week. I mean, it's a struggle. They just can't hardly do it. Mercy, they just can't hardly do it. It's just such a burden. So busy. Got so many things. And it's just so boring compared to all the rest of the stuff they got in their life. Just barely, you know, if that is a servant of the Lord, what do you think it's going to be like when he comes? Well, now here in this parable, he said, bring all those citizens that hate me and slay them before me. The unprofitable servant he put out. In the other, in another parable, in 22, I believe it is, he said, put him in outer darkness. Man, that's lost. That's where all of the bad people go. And the devil. Outer darkness. Cast out forever. An unfaithful, unprofitable servant. You don't want to be like that. I'm just telling you, the kingdom. That if you've entered into the kingdom, there ought to be something going on in your soul. There ought to be an increase in the knowledge of God. And an increase in your love for God. An increase in your desire to serve God and give your all to God. If you've entered in, that better be there. Because the King is coming. And He's coming for those who claim to be His servant. He's going to examine them. And the issue is going to be, have you got more than you started with? Do you? So when Jesus comes back for those who belong to His kingdom, He'll be coming for those who have an overflow, not for those who have no spring of life in themselves. He told the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A well springing up. That's like a spring. That's like a flow of water that never stops. It's like an overabundance. More than you need. The psalmist said, my cup runneth over. That means there's something for everybody else around. I ain't drinking it all myself. I ain't barely just getting by myself. You better get more from God. You better get more in your walk from God than just enough to barely sustain your own soul. You need enough to give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, you guys just talking about money and food and stuff? No, give, and it shall be given unto you. Press down, shaken together, and running over. Yeah, that's the way it works. The more you give, the more you get. And especially when it comes to the things of God. A servant of God who's a good steward of the things God gives, there's going to be an overflow. I mean, he's going to have to give. There's going to be a great difference. Isn't there a great difference in the people who claim to be the people of God? There, and that's it right there. And that'll be the examination. He's coming for those who are occupying until He comes, like He told them. That's what He said there, occupy till I come. Here's your talent apiece, boys. There you go. Now, occupy till I come. Coming back. I ain't telling you when, but I'll be back. You got some time. Occupy. You know what that means? The word means get busy. Get to work. Busy yourselves. Get to work. Don't sit around. Don't be lazy. Don't sit around doing nothing. Don't act like you're on a bus. Don't act like you're a spectator at some event. You're in this. You got something I gave you, invested in you. You're responsible for it. And when I come back, I want to see what you've done with it. What have you done with what God's given you? What have you done with it? Do you care about it? Do you treasure it? They had a talent apiece. The Lord gave me this talent. This. What God gave me. It's God gave this to me. Do you have anything like that? Do you have anything that God gave you? Really? Oh, I do. I do. And it means more to me than any piece of junk that's at my house. Or anywhere else in this whole world. You couldn't take, I wouldn't trade it for nothing that's in this world. It means something to me. I value it and I treasure it. And I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to hold it fast. I got some verses to read about that here in a minute. But he's coming for those who are occupying till he comes, like he told them. That word means busy oneself. Get to work. Be diligent about the business at hand. So if this kingdom business means anything to you, if you get to looking at it right, you realize, man, I just got so much time. I've got this little window of time to work here, to work at it, and to occupy myself with. You ought to be diligent about, you ought to be given to the Lord's work. It ought to be a bigger thing in your life than just a Sunday morning thing. It ought to be a bigger thing in your life than just a sideline. Just another thing you do. Just another thing you think about once in a while. Just a string you hang on to for emergency. It ought to be more than a spare tire in your trunk. It ought to be all that your life's about. Most important thing in your life. The things of God. And the fact that Jesus is coming again. And you're going to be a part of his kingdom. Does that mean anything to you? Is that important to you at all? Well, if it's not, you're not in. I'll tell you that right now. There's a message coming down the pike here somewhere about entering in to the kingdom of God. Very important. Let me hurry. The parable of the 10 virgins also shows us that those who will enter into the kingdom will be the ones who are diligent to be ready when he comes. Matthew chapter 25. If you want to turn over, I'm going to read this parable. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13. All right. Don't hear no pages rattling. You're going to listen? Listen to me. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now that is pretty foolish, don't you think? But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Well, I don't know if you could ever, that the soberness of that would ever get to you, but the door's going to be shut. There's a moment in time when the door's going to shut. Just like the door shut on the ark for Noah, God shut the door. Bam! That's it. From 1 second to the next. That's it. No more opportunity. It's over. You can't get in now. You could have 5 minutes ago, but not now. The door's shut. And the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore," says Jesus, "for you know not, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." It's kind of interesting to me, the number is you got 10 servants, you got 10 virgins. I remembered another verse in the Bible while I was studying about this. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 32, it says, "He said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry." This is Abraham speaking to the Lord. "And I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it for 10's sake." Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of this coming of the Son of Man." I mean, few. How many were on the ark? 8 people. Wonder if there had been 10. What if there had been 10? Would there not have been a flood? I don't know. But there weren't 10 on the ark. There were 8. There weren't 10 in Sodom, so it got destroyed. We're down to 10 here. And 5 of the 10 were unfaithful. At least one of the other 10 was unfaithful, so there wasn't 10 there either. Anyway, I thought that was interesting. The teaching of Jesus on the kingdom of God is clear here that there will be few that enter in compared to the many that are shut out. One thing's for certain, there's going to be more shut out than get in. Straight is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Many shall strive to enter in and shall not be able. Or many shall seek to enter in and not be able. Strive, therefore, to enter in. Many, most, the word means most. Most are not going to get in. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Five of the virgins said, Lord, Lord, and they didn't enter in. They had lamps. They had gone forth to meet the bridegroom. And then when they said he's coming, they went out to meet him. But they didn't have oil in their lamps. They wasn't ready. Wasn't faithful. They were foolish. Foolish. So was the unfaithful servant. The unprofitable servant. Foolish because he wasn't ready. He was lollygagging around. These five virgins were lollygagging around. Paying no attention. Living carelessly. Not thinking. Not believing, not preparing. And he came. And they wasn't ready. And then they wanted to start getting ready, but it was too late. Door shut. Can't get in now. Of these 10 virgins, I don't think I finished reading that. Not everyone says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. It's something I don't know if I can explain. I don't think I can explain it to you where it would make sense, but that's what he said. In that day, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, we should be entering in. We did all these things. We worked miracles. We cast out devils. Lord, what do you mean? No. They didn't have nothing. There's another parable that talks about a king making a marriage for his son and all of this. And they found and the long story at the end of it, he went out there and he found somebody without a wedding garment. He said, friend, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment? He answered him nothing. He couldn't say anything. So they cast him out. It makes me wonder, you know. Makes me think and try to ponder about how it's going to be. We sit in church. And it's been this way through all ages. It's still this way right now. It's that way tonight. We preach and preach and preach. You hear, you hear, you hear. You hear the truth, it's forcefully given to you. And the Spirit of God anoints it and makes it real to you. And you ignore it. I wonder what you're going to see. I wonder how close you're going to get. I mean, here's people right at the door. Here's people that in that day they're going to say, Lord, Lord, what do you mean? No. How can you say no to me? Is that going to be you? Are you going to be one of them? I went to church. I thought I was right. The preacher said I was saved. My mama said I was saved. I did everything I knew to do. You know what he says after that? He's going to say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Another one says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. People who thought they were a part of it. Unfaithful servants. The issue, you got any more than what God gave you to start with? Huh? Of these 10 virgins, only 5 made it in. Half of them were shut out. All of them went forth to meet the bridegroom. All of them had lamps. Five had oil for the lamps and five did not. That means half of those who appeared to be part of the bride, listen to me, half of those who appeared to be part of the bride did everything they did without the Spirit of God. That's what oil represents. Oil always represents the Spirit of God. They did it without any Spirit of God. They were not led by the Spirit. All they did was in the flesh and not led of the Spirit. All they did in the name of the Lord, they did walking after the flesh. Think about that. All the activities, all the church things that are going on today, how much of it do you think the Holy Spirit of God led them to do? Hey, put it to that test. Don't you think that's reasonable? Since we got this right here showing us. They had a lamp. Yes, sir. They had everything, and it looked authentic to everybody that was shallow-minded and not discerning. But there came a time when it really did matter, and it didn't pass the test. Didn't pass muster. Couldn't do it. Wasn't enough. No oil in your lamps. Your lamp ain't going to shine with no oil. You can't have no light from a lamp that ain't got no oil in it. There's no light. Lamp won't burn without oil. So there was no light in him. Isaiah said in chapter 8 and verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Jesus gives another parable, very similar to these, with the same message and the same examples. And I won't read the whole thing. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. It's like a man traveling into a far country, called his own servants, delivered unto them his goods. And it's very, very similar to the one we read here at the beginning, the first one. But the same thing happened. When he came back, he said, thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore that talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall he take away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, boy. See? Pretty stiff. Pretty hard punishment, isn't it? The one that had the 10 talents, he's going to be given more. To him that hath shall be given, because he was faithful. He can be trusted. That's the way God does things. And that's the way it works. Be rich unto God. Lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth, y'all. Take care of what God gives you. Treasure it. Everything you get from God, every nugget you get from God. Everybody used to try to get Brother Earl. I heard somebody say, give me some nugget. Well, it's kind of hard for somebody to do that for somebody else. You know, as we talk about pearls and stuff, you know, what God gives you is yours. It's your responsibility. It's yours to keep. It's yours to multiply. We have nothing but what he's given us. But what he has given us will multiply if we're good stewards of it. We're about what we are to be about the Lord's business and not our own business. The Lord's business ought to be first. I've read about Finney. You know, he was raised a heathen. Just a rank heathen. He didn't go to church. His folks didn't go to church. And I'm talking about 200 years ago plus. Late 1700s. He grew up just out on the frontier of New York back then. I mean, it was frontier. It was wilderness and wild. But he went to school and he went to college and he was going to be a lawyer and he was studying to be a lawyer and he was practicing it a little bit already. But he got saved. He got born again. And I remember him saying that he went back to his office and he told the man whose case he was working on, he said, I'm sorry, But he said, I have other obligations. And he said, I have to plead Jesus' case now, and so I can't plead yours. He quit. Quit his livelihood. Quit his business. What about that? He took it seriously. God rewarded him with much understanding and much wisdom and many souls. Yes, sir. He took what God gave him and multiplied it. But that's what it is. We got to be about the Lord's business. Jesus said, I must be about, wist ye not, that I must be about my Father's business. What's the most important thing in your life? God and his business or yours? How much is my business worth? How long is it going to last? What does it amount to? No, God's business is much more important. We're laying up treasures in heaven, not on earth. We should live our lives in view of the coming kingdom and not as if this world were all there was. It's not really labor that we're charged with. Listen to me, but with attention to the things of God. We're charged to give attention to the things of God. Not so much with labor. They that labor, labor in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Not attention to the things of God that we do not know, but to the things we do know. He gave us something. Pay attention to that. Don't be always searching and fascinated and seeking for secrets and mysteries and new light and new knowledge and unusual things and experiences. No! That's craziness. It's really ungodliness. You're messing up when you go to chasing after foolish things like that. What do you got from God? Pay attention to that. That's what you're called to do. That's your duty to do. That's what you're, as a servant of God, that's what you're responsible to do. Take that little bit you got and take care of it. That very little that he's given us, he said. He said that, I didn't say it. He said, thou hast been faithful in a very little. He gave you a talent. Boy, it's way more than that now. What he's given you, not what he's not given you. Y'all understand what I'm saying here? Pay attention to that. Don't be carried away with these other crazy things. Going to be a bunch of prophecy preachers that are going to be in trouble when we stand before Jesus when he comes in his kingdom, because they're going to be sitting there, you know. They were so preoccupied with things they did not know, things they did not have, things that God did not give them. What do you know about God? And that's what you better focus on. That's what you better take care of. It's what you better pay attention to. Not in seeking after things that we do not have, but cultivating the things we already have. Here's a couple of verses. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 25. But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Sound to me like that fits. That which thou hast already, hold fast till I come. That talent, whatever little bit he's given you, better hang on to it. All right. Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. You better hold fast what you've heard, what you've received. He says right there, hold fast. Revelation 3 and verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. All right, hold fast to everything you get from God. Hold fast to every gain you make in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Now, you can think whatever you want to think, but here's what I think about these servants who had the talent. I don't believe it was invested in a thing like the stock market, where it is up and down, and you got it today and you don't have it tomorrow, and you got double today and half tomorrow. No. When they got a talent, they hung on to that. When he got another one, he hung on to that. You don't exchange and exchange and exchange and exchange. Mm-mm. Not the things of God. You don't exchange them. You keep them. Whatever you hear, hold it fast. Whatever you receive, hold it fast. And that way, you multiply. You keep adding to instead of losing. People exchange. People trade. They get something, and then something else comes along. They dump that and go to this. Shouldn't be that way. You ought to build. It's like building a building. It's like putting a puzzle together piece by piece. We're getting ready. Getting ready for him to come. Hold fast to every gain you make in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and hold fast to every blessing that he gives you. Keep everything God gives you. Don't lose it. Don't give it up. Don't hide it under a bushel. And you'll have more when he comes than what he gave you to start with. Maybe next week, I'm not sure about for sure, but there's the pearl of great price, and there's the treasure hidden in a field. You got to seek after it. You ain't going to find no pearl unless you go looking for it. You ain't going to find no treasure in the field unless you go looking for it. You got to apply yourself. These servants here, that was the difference. The one that had 10 when he came, he'd been working at it. I mean, he had been busy. He'd applied himself. He was focused on it. The one that just had the one, he didn't do nothing. He hid it in a napkin and went on about his life, taking care of his business, not God's business. And so all he had when the Lord came was just what the Lord had gave him to start with. Y'all see, kingdom, he's coming. And this is going to determine where you're at. And he said, I don't care as long as I get in. As long as I got a little cabin in the corner of glory land somewhere. Oh, no. No. That's not the message here. No. Most preachers and most Baptist preachers, they preach all this optional. Everything's optional. You just get saved and then you got to take it to heaven and then everything else optional. If you want to live for God, you can. If you don't, well, so what? You're saved anyway. You know, once saved, always saved and all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not preaching that to you. I ain't never preached it to you. I ain't going to. If you want to hear that, you're not going to hear it here. I can promise you that. Not out of me. Because it ain't the truth. It's not the way it is. Here's what we did. We just read the words of Jesus here tonight over and over, and he don't teach that. You can say it's works all you want to. It's just an absolute fact. Can faith alone save you? No. That's the answer the Bible gives. No. It's all you got to do is believe. Oh, yeah? I got a whole bunch of Bible to question you about then if that's what you think. Faith without works is dead, being alone. Everything in there. I mean, what is all these parables about, if that's really the way it is? Don't matter. God gives you talent. Don't matter if you lose it. Don't matter if you gain for it. Don't matter. Nothing matters as long as you get to heaven. No, I'm telling you, it matters. You better have something from God. First thing, boy, that whole country, the citizens hated him. He didn't give them nothing. He called his 10 servants and gave them something. Are you one of his servants tonight? If you are, he's giving you something. If you ain't got nothing, it's because he ain't giving you nothing. And you ought to be concerned about that. What'd he do to the citizens who hated him, who didn't have no talent, who didn't have nothing? Slay them. It was over for them. This is the way it is. Better watch. Better be prepared. The Lord's coming. Y'all realize that? I mean, this thing's about over. We're at the end of this period of time. It's like I told you last week, the best way to know that Jesus is coming is close at hand here is watch about the kingdom and the state of the church. that it's in right now. That tells us more, with more certainty, that he's about to come than anything else. All right, let's stand. I'll quit. Amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now to our hearts and minds. I try my best to explain it as clearly and hammer it down as tightly as I can. But I know that it just doesn't get, I always feel like it's just not as good as it ought to be. It's not as sewed up as it ought to be. And Lord, I depend on you, the Spirit of God, to do the interpreting, to straighten out where I've made it crooked, to make it clear where I've made it muddy. Lord, help us. Help us all. Help these folks here to understand tonight that we need to be faithful in the things you've given us. And Lord, we ought to be striving to have more than what you gave us when you come. Help us, Lord, to understand these things and apply them in our life and to get busy and occupy till you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.